This podcast is supported by The RealReal. Meet Christine. She loves shopping. And this is the sound of fashion overload. Too many fabulous things, not enough space. So Christine started selling with The RealReal.
I've always loved collecting designer pieces. Gucci bags, Prada heels. But my style keeps evolving. Selling with The RealReal? Game changer. I earn more and they do everything.
Seriously, just drop off your items or schedule a pickup. We handle the photos, descriptions, pricing, even shipping. You just sit back and watch your items sell fast to our 38 million members.
And I get peace of mind knowing I earn more selling with The RealReal than anywhere else.
Exactly. This? That's the sound of your closet working for you. The RealReal. Earn more, save time, sell fast. And right now, you can get an extra $100 site credit when you sell for the first time. Go to TheRealReal.com to get your extra $100. TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com.
Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Hey up, everybody. My name's Joshua Morrison, director of Johnny Mozza's Lessons and Conference. And today, I want to talk to you a little bit about video games, right? Now, I've not played any video games for about a year and a half, right? Last video games I played was the Mass Effect games. I've only got PlayStation, so I didn't have Mass Effect 1, which is only on the Xbox. So I played Mass Effect 2, really good game, love it. And then I played a bit of Mass Effect 3. And I was playing it, I got to two missions before the last mission, right? Getting really excited for the end, because I actually quite like the end of Mass Effect 3. But what ended up happening was I was about to turn my computer off. So I turned the computer off, and then I turn around to pick something up. I can't remember what. And then I just hear this big smash, and I turn around, the TV's on the floor. I'm like, what? So I pick the TV up and I put it on the put it back. Big crack down the middle. I'm just sort of thinking, hopefully it's kind of like how my phone is cracked. I don't know if you can see that, right? But it's cracked. So I thought maybe it will just, I'll just have to look past the cracks. That'll be okay. No, it completely messed with whatever makes the pixels inside. It just gave me a load of glitched out red and black. So that didn't really work. So I've not played a video game since then. I do technically have Steam. I've got a couple things on Steam, but I've not looked at Steam for about 5 years. And the reason I've not done any of this, and the reason I'm making this video, is because I'm annoyed at video games for how fucking long they are. They're so long. You ever played Oblivion? Elder Scrolls? Jesus Christ. It never fucking ends. So you go to the Citadel, like Imperial City, whatever, right? So you join the Thieves Guild, you get all the way to the top of the fucking Thieves Guild. That takes about 15 hours on its own. Then you've got to do the Fighters Guild, then you've got to do the Mages Guild. There's another fucking, there's the Dark Brotherhood, Assassins and all that, right? There's so many. And then there's all the little side quests. There's the arena you got to get all the way to the top of. There's the main quest you got to do. There's random bullshit you got to do for random fucking jack-offs that don't amount to anything. I'm walking around this gorgeous fucking vista of fantasy and whimsy, just like doing grunt work for random fucking NPCs, right? When I do that in real life anyway, that's a job, right? I'm basically going to my manager being like, have you got anything for me? Yeah, go clean the fucking gutters. That's basically what this is, right? But with video games. And I'm doing this for free. I'm paying for the privilege of doing free work, right? And to me, I just don't quite see the point in that. So I've jacked it in with those kind of video games. Like MMORPGs, they're another one. They're even worse, right? At least Oblivion pretends to have some semblance of a story. But, you know, it just frustrates me that you've got that. right? I much prefer your narrative-driven sort of things. Like one of the last games I played before Mass Effect was Spec Ops: The Line. Now that is a game that I think it works structurally in how a game should be made in terms of a structure. It was about 6 hours long, right? I played it in a weekend, and it wasn't like I did nothing but play Spec Ops: The Line. I probably sat down for maybe a couple hours a day, and then I played it in the evenings, went to work, came back, played a bit of Spec Ops: The Line, went to bed, had some dinner, whatever, you know, and then got that kind of thing, right? And it was a nice, enjoyable little time, right? With a beautiful fall into madness and a commentary on the nature of war and man's violence towards other man and this kind of thing. That's what I feel like video games should be working towards, rather than these kind of content farms of just, you know, endlessly grinding your way up to the highest fucking level, which just basically means you're the same as the bottom level, but the blue sparks are now fucking purple, and the fucking, you've got giant ears coming out of your fucking head from before you had normal sized ears, or you've got silver armor rather than just like leather armor, whatever. It's this kind of thing, where it's just these small material changes in what the pixels look like that's meant to give you some kind of satisfaction. And I'm not saying this to minimize other people's enjoyment of video games. I personally don't get that enjoyment from them anymore, but I'm not out here to try and minimize other people's enjoyment of them or try and tell you that you should stop playing video games because they're a waste of time or whatever, right? If that's the conclusion you take from this, then I would encourage you to apply it to your own life, because clearly you're on the path towards sort of changing and developing away from video games and more towards whatever it is that will come in your future, right? The thing about this, the average film is about 2 hours long, right? The average TV show, one series of a TV show, call it 4 to 6 hours, right? Say there's like five series of a TV show, that's about bog standard, that's about 30 hours, right? The average book maybe takes about 20 hours to read, right? The average video game takes about fucking 100 hours to play. Right, and that's just the basics. That's not counting if you want to do 100% or whatever, which, to be fair, you have to be really into it to try and do that. I've only done it on a couple of games. And I feel like something that video games are really good at is, one, storytelling capabilities, because it's kind of got the advantages that reading a book has over a film, in that you've got this immersiveness to it, and you're immersed in the character and the story and the atmosphere. Same way of a book, because it feels like you are that person, because you're reading their struggles. You have to actively read, whereas with a film or a TV series, you just sit there and it's just like blasted into your fucking retinas, right? So there's a difference in regards to how you interpret what's going on in a film compared to a book. And I think video games are actually closer to books in that regard, because they have that immersive quality. But I think the problem with video games at the moment is how utterly, goddamn, infinitely expansive their length is. It's just absolutely ridiculous how long video games are. And I think what we need to do is start, instead of having these large, massive Bethesda type experiences, right? Because people are clearly getting sick of them. Starfield was a flop. I don't know if it was a financial flop, but it was a critical flop. I don't think anyone's excited for the new Elder Scrolls, really, are they? Like, maybe they would have been in 2017, but I don't think they are anymore. Like, it will come out and people will go, oh, it's all right, this. And then a few people might buy it, and you might play it at a friend's house, and you might enjoy it for a bit, but you're never going to buy it yourself, are you? It's that kind of thing. I think video games do a really good job with developing atmosphere and story and characters. They have real potential for that, particularly something like a dialogue tree where you can develop your character in different ways, and it's all kind of mastered by the developers of the game. Similar to like a choose-your-own-adventure sort of thing, like. But it's like that, but times a million in terms of complexity. And that's really interesting. And two, I think a community-driven spirit is something that's really amazing that's come out of the video game world and culture as a whole. You know, multiplayer as a general thing, split screen, meeting up with your friends and playing Mario Kart. And like, you know, the one guy who wins, he's like, yes! And all that kind of stuff. That's all fun. Playing Mortal Kombat with your friend is really fun. Getting on a Call of Duty lobby is really fun. I mean, I used to do that all the time when I was in high school. And then me and my friend, we would go on to like Minecraft's multiplayer sort of survival games. It was their rip-off of the Hunger Games. And we used to just do that every single day. And we had a blast doing it, you know. And it's not that I don't see value in video games, but I just think that they're bloating too much. I think they're getting too large and they're getting too bogged down in the graphical capabilities, right? I'm going to be completely honest with you, and this is probably going to cause a lot of dislikes on the video, but Red Dead Redemption 1, I don't really see why we needed to do anything past that, right? That looked perfect as far as I'm concerned. GTA 5, yeah. That's it. We don't need any more graphical developments, guys. We are done, okay? Draw a line in the sand, stop worrying about the fucking graphics of it, and start using the fact that we have this baseline of graphics to develop other aspects of story. Because as, you know, each generation comes along, you get more data space and so on and so forth. You can use that to enrich the characters, have more dialogue trees, have more space for audio files, etc. You can make the worlds larger or start focusing on including more NPCs and more entities and more assets in a singular space and being able to load them all at the same time. We don't need higher quality graphics. We don't need the water fucking reflecting off the sun. We don't need any of this stuff. I don't really see the value in it, because if I'm playing a video game, like, it's the same way if I watch a movie and it's a low budget movie and there's a bit of shit CGI in it. If that takes me out of the film, then it wasn't a very good film to begin with, and I was looking for an excuse to stop bothering with it. Same way with a video game. Would you not play a PS1 game because it doesn't look as good as a PS3 game? Then that does, like, would you not play a PS3 game because it doesn't look as good as a PS5 game? I mean, what games even are there on the fucking PS5? There's Demon's Souls, which that was on the PS3. There's Sekiro, the new Dark Souls thing. And there's probably a few new Call of Duties. There's probably some couple of, like, really good games I've not heard of, but I just think that we're going in the wrong direction with it. And what I am sort of doing, I haven't really bothered with any new video game news or anything like that since about 2015, 2016 maybe. I haven't bothered, haven't cared about it, right? I feel like what I want to do is, in say the year 2040, right? Can you imagine what the technology for video games is going to be like in 2040? So I'm going to stay completely out of the loop, right, until that point, and then I'm going to get there and I'm going to just look into the new thing, and I'll get the new VR headset or the PS10 or whatever they've got by that point, probably PS6 at this point. Actually, no, PS7. I think they're coming out of PS6 some point soon, which to me just blows my fucking mind. I mean, the idea of a PS5, I always thought was kind of a joke of the far-flung future, and now it's been out for ages. So I feel like video games should start focusing more on the story and more on small-scale things, right, rather than trying to make these large, monetized, loot-box-driven experiences. And obviously, it works for them, but I feel like if they stripped back on the graphical stuff, stopped worrying about having the highest capability graphics, because it fucks the development time. Look at Rockstar, for instance. I keep using Rockstar as an example. But in the PS2 era, they came out with GTA 3, Midnight Club, Midnight Club 2, Midnight Club 3, two more GTAs, Vice City and San Andreas, loads of DLC, expanded fucking things for them. I can't remember what it's called, their version of DLC. Bully, Manhunt, I think Manhunt 2 as well. That's all on the PS3. That was, I don't even know how many I counted there, probably like 9, right? Then the PS3, you've got GTA 4, you've got LA Noir, you've got GTA 5, you've got Midnight Club LA, you've got a couple more that I can't remember the name of. You've got Max Payne 3, oh, you've got bloody Max Payne 1 and 2 on the PS2. But you notice how it's slipping already. There's already less games on the PS3 compared to the PS2. Now look at the PS4. Red Dead Redemption 2. Is that it? Is that fucking it? Oh, and bloody Red Dead Revolver came out on the PS2, and Red Dead Redemption came out on the PS3. So you see how it's a bigger team than it was before, and they're making less as a result, because the graphical capabilities are so high, that the expectations are so high, that they need to make the most realistic, high-caliber fucking thing out there. And I feel like if they stripped it all back, and we just went back to PS3 graphics in the year 2025, they're fine. That's good enough. I don't think we need to get any better than that, you know?
Thanks.
And once we get to that point of just accepting that we can go back to the past, we'll be able to make so much more, because we'll be able to use that PS3 capability and that scale of graphics to introduce new, grander stories. We'll be able to make the worlds and the sandboxes more efficiently for the developers. Textures will be easier.
This podcast is supported by The Real Real. Meet Christine. She loves shopping. And this is the sound of fashion overload. Too many fabulous things, not enough space. So Christine started selling with The Real Real.
I've always loved collecting designer pieces. Gucci bags, Prada heels. But my style keeps evolving. Selling with The Real Real? Game changer. I earn more and they do everything.
Seriously, just drop off your items or schedule a pickup. We handle the photos, descriptions, pricing, even shipping. You just sit back and watch your items sell fast to our 38 million members.
And I get peace of mind knowing I earn more selling with The RealReal than anywhere else.
Exactly. That's the sound of your closet working for you. The RealReal. Earn more, save time, sell fast. And right now, you can get an extra $100 site credit when you sell for the first time. Go to TheRealReal.com to get your extra $100. TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com.
To figure out, because we'll have new technologies to create more interesting textures and all this kind of stuff to you know, speed up the process in various forms, right? So we'd be able to get more interesting experiences rather than just getting Red Dead Redemption 2. And to be honest, I didn't give a shit about Red Dead Redemption 1. It was fucking awful. It was GTA, but without the driving, and the driving is why I like GTA. It's like the most fun part about that game. It's why I liked Midnight Club, right? So to wrap this bit of ranty video up, I feel like video games, what they should be doing going into the future is worrying less about the graphical capability. I know, very, very original thought, but they should be going away from that, and they should be moving towards smaller, less runtime to the collective experiences, because these things are like 100 hours long. I think 10 hours max. I think 10 hours max is a good length for a game. A 10-hour game can be the equivalent of like a 3-hour film, right? And maybe a 15-hour game every now and then can be like you're Gone with the Wind of video games, right? I think that's okay. We don't need any more 50-hour, 100-hour, 200-hour fucking video games. There's only 24 hours in a day. I nearly said there's 48 hours in a day. That's how much it fucks with your time frame. I remember I looked at my Fallout 3 thing and it said that I've been playing it for 150 hours. And that's a week spent doing this. And to me, I don't think that's worthwhile. So I think we should be working on smaller, more interesting experiences rather than these huge, expansive piles of mediocrity. So thank you very much for watching this video. I'm not going to be talking about video games much more. I don't really care about them. So don't expect more video game content. I mean, if this video does really well, I'll probably do more video game stuff. But I'm not going to start fucking Let's Plays or anything like that. I don't give a shit. So, yeah, thank you very much for watching this video. They're normally more positive than this. They're normally more inspirational kind of stuff like that. I tend to do... My hobby, my passion is using, like, these. These are quite fun. So I do that kind of thing, photography and stuff like that. So, you know, I understand that video games might be your passion, your hobby or whatever. But, I don't know, they're just not mine, really. So... thank you very much for watching this one. Have a good rest of the day. And this thing feels like it's enveloping me, so I'm going to get out. Take care, everybody. Bye-bye. Hey up, everybody. My name's Joshua Morrison, director of Johnny Mozzles. Our lessons in confidence today. I want to talk to you a little bit about the fog and why I think it's really nice and why I just like weird weather in general. Because stuff like this isn't the norm. Normally, this place looks really fucking boring, but... I look back there and I just think it gives it a bit more of a, I guess, a vibe. I don't really like the word vibe, but I can't think of a better word to actually use to describe it. You know when the trees in the background sort of blend in with the sky, and you know when the whole world seems like it's like just a big blanket over you? That's what the fog kind of does, and I really enjoy that. Even outside of the context of just being a like film guy and going around filming stuff, it's obviously useful for me to have stuff that looks pretty like that. Like, it's quite useful, but in terms of just like appreciating like weird weather, there's so much in the realm of weird weather. Like I don't know, the other week I went out to the park to film one of these videos, and there was like this layer of fog. It was like a small layer. It was like you could walk up and touch the fog almost. That was really cool. There was, you know, then back in May, I went up north with my friend. And the Northern Lights just appeared. We went up this hill, right? And there were a load of people that were coming up the hill, and turns out they were waiting for the Northern Lights, and we didn't know that the Northern Lights were gonna be happening. And we had a look at them. I tried to film some footage of it, but it didn't look very good, but it looked so honestly beautiful in real life. And it just made me think that there's so much in the way of weather out there. Like, I remember last year, it rained so much that you couldn't cross the road. And I loved it. It was brilliant because I love when it rains like that and it just feels intense. And you know, you see people that are like crowding under like overhangs and stuff like that. And you're just going through, you're rushing through the rain, you're having a lot of fun with it, you're getting wet. You know, that's quite fun. You know, it gets warm and it gets cold and it gets warm again and it gets cold again, and the years cycle through. And at the end of the day, you know, all you can do is appreciate each day as it comes, because each day is going to look a little bit different from the last. Like yesterday, this place didn't look like this. It looked a bit more clear. It was still cloudy. Like it wasn't like a blue sky or anything, but you know, it wasn't like foggy kind of like this, where there's a bit of an ambiance to it. And the day before that, it was, you know, when it's kind of got those broken sort of clouds that are up there and you're not entirely sure how they managed to make those work. Yeah, it was those beforehand. And then a few weeks ago, it was bright, you know, blue sky. It was cold, obviously, so everything had that like almost mystical sheen over it, where there's just like a little layer of white sort of luminescence over everything. That was really nice. And they're all varieties of nice weather, you know, because nice weather isn't necessarily about, am I warm? Am I the right temperature? Can I be bothered to go out? You know, it's not necessarily about that. Sometimes it's nice to look out the window with a bowl of soup and just go, this is all right, this. I'm enjoying myself. And that's what I think about weather in general, is that I just love the fact that we have so many different options, that we have so many little, like, and I kind of feel sorry for people who live in places where it's just almost like a mono climate, essentially. Like, you just see the same thing day in and day out, and the seasons don't really change. And it's like, you know, I understand seasonal depression. I've had seasonal depression on various years. But, you know, I feel like if I just had it be summer all the time, I'd get so sick of that. Like, I just don't, I want the variety. I want there to be a little bit of, you know, this, and then that, and a little bit of that. Because if I didn't have that, if I didn't, you know, variety is the spice of life, as they say. If I didn't have that, what am I going to do with myself? Just wander around, just endless bright sunny days, just waiting for rain? Because, like, that's what I'd be doing. And if it was raining all the time, I wouldn't like that either. You know, I want there to be a bit of variety. I want there to be fog sometimes. But again, I don't want it to be foggy every single fucking day. Because if it was, what am I going to do then? I'm just going to get bored, right, in the fog. I'm not going to be able to see. Because, you know, it can be a bit annoying. And I imagine for the drivers here, it's a pain in the ass, this. Because especially if you're driving on a motorway, that's going to be quite dangerous, you know. So it increases risk. So I understand why people are annoyed at the fog. And, I'm not saying like there aren't downsides to all forms of weather. But there's downsides to bright, sunny weather as well. You know, it can be too hot. You can get sunburn, you know, stuff like that. And, you know, just the same way there's downsides to cold weather. You can get frostbite. You can get pneumonia. You know, like there's all sorts of problems. But as long as you wrap up warm, whatever, you do the right things, you can kind of go around. And everyone's got bloody apps on their phone now that like sort out the weather for you. I'll get up the weather. What does the weather say for us today? Because, you know, it doesn't mention it being foggy, but it just is. So obviously you can't rely on it. It says it's 6 degrees, and it says there's a 10% chance of precipitation, which isn't great. And then what else does it have? Wind. It's not very windy. Yeah, 3 kilometers an hour most, so not much. But you know what? It's nice that you have the little app, because even though the app's wrong sometimes, it's kind of fun to see what it's going to do and then go, ha, it's just fun that, you know. And then you have a little bit of a joke with your friends, like, ah, oh, the weather said it was going to do this. Ah, oh, bloody weather app is always wrong. But then when it's right, we don't sit there and go, oh, sorry, weather app, you were right this time. I've got bloody egg on my face, haven't I? We don't do that, because we don't, I don't know, show the app that level of respect. It doesn't deserve it, because it's wrong so much. And it's, honestly, it's not even wrong that much, to be honest. It's right most of the time. Yeah, degrees and stuff like that, I don't really understand. Like, I don't know what 6 degrees means. Like, it doesn't feel like six. You know when it says, like, 6 degrees feels like 3 degrees? What does that mean? That, to me, means nothing. It means it is 3 degrees. How can it feel like, I understand that wind can cause things to feel colder than they actually are. But if that's the case, just tell me it's 3 degrees. I'm not a scientist. I don't need this information to be accurate. I'm not a meteorologist, right? And I suppose it's nice that they tell you it's, you know, feels like 3 degrees, but it is 6 degrees. Because it feels like 3 degrees, yeah, it does. It doesn't feel that cold today, to be honest. Like, I've got 3 layers on, but I don't really know why I've got this many layers on. It's not that much of a problem. I could probably just, the only reason I've got this up is because, you know, to hide the lav mic. So it's all right, to be honest, this. And this is why I like the variety of weather, because as long as you're prepared for all different things, then you're going to have a decent time. because variety is the spice of life, and we need different things for different times. And if we have the same thing all the time, we'll get bored. There's people watching this from all over the world, right? Fucking hell, I nearly hit the back of my head. I'm gonna move over to this side. You know, I've seen that people watch these videos from Peru, from Malaysia, from like South Africa, right? Hello to all the people watching from all the countries in the world, right? What kind of weather have you got going on? Because you know what, there's stuff that I haven't even thought of, like monsoons or hurricanes and stuff like that. That's all grim. I don't really want a hurricane to hit me and destroy my house, or a tornado to suck my family away, or whatever they do. I don't want a tsunami to come in and kill my family. That's miserable, right? Like, if I do all that, and I live in a place that has all these things, like a volcano, I don't know if a volcano really counts as weather. But you get the point I'm making. Like, I'm not saying, you know, let's have all the worst weather in the world, right? I'm just saying let's have a variety, because we can't have a nice day every single day, because if we did, then the nice days wouldn't feel all that brilliant. So that's kind of the video, to be honest. There's not much else to say. This is basically just me sort of going on about why I like the fog whilst there's some fog in the background. And you know what? I could have really filmed it that other way, because it seems foggy on that side, but whatever. You know, that's the way the cookie crumbles. I don't know why I said that. I've never said that phrase before. So, yeah, I'm just going to close off with what the weather tomorrow is going to be. So, remember this. It's going to be all right, apparently. It's going to be okay. The weather will be fine tomorrow. 7 degrees. It's going to rain on New Year's Day. And then it's going to be sunny on Sunday. And that's it. Bye. Oh yeah, leave comments about the weather, about like what kind of weather you have in your like neighborhood. What's the weirdest bit of weather you saw? And I'm talking like proper weird, like something that's so weird that like there are little internet forums that think that aliens did it and stuff. See ya. Hey up everybody. My name's Joshua Morrison, director of Johnny Mozza's Lessons and Confidence. And today, I wanted to talk to you a little bit about the weather, as the British tend to do. We like to talk about the weather, as is the stereotype. I like pretty miserable weather. I like the rain. I like cloudy days. I like right now, it's cold enough that I need to wear coats. I need to wear...
This podcast is supported by The RealReal. Meet Christine. She loves shopping. And this is the sound of fashion overload. Too many fabulous things, not enough space. So Christine started selling with The RealReal.
I've always loved collecting designer pieces. Gucci bags, Prada heels. But my style keeps evolving. Selling with The RealReal? Game changer. I earn more and they do everything.
Seriously, just drop off your items or schedule a pickup. We handle the photos, descriptions, pricing, even shipping. You just sit back and watch your items sell. Fast. To our 38 million members.
And I get peace of mind knowing I earn more selling with The RealReal than anywhere else.
Exactly. This? That's the sound of your closet working for you. The RealReal. Earn more, save time, sell fast. And right now, you can get an extra $100 site credit when you sell for the first time. Go to TheRealReal.com to get your extra $100. TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com.
Two coats. I mean, I've got quite a few layers on. I've got this t-shirt layer, and I've got this overshirt layer, and then I've got this denim jacket on, and I've got this jacket on, and then actually I've got the big sort of brownish sort of thing coat as well, but I didn't put that on because this is the exact same color, so it looked a bit weird, so I've taken that off. And I'm not cold, I'm kind of fine, this is all right, this is okay. What I dislike is when it gets so piercingly cold that I feel like it inhibits my own ability to function and get out there and do stuff. So when it gets to proper like minus temperatures, I start to become a bit unhappy. But when I just need some coats, it's okay. When it's raining, I don't really mind. I'm not the sort of person that uses umbrellas. I just get wet. Like, for instance, this is how much I like the rain, right? And I'll explain why I like the rain after. I like the rain so much that one time I had to walk back from somewhere that was about 3-4 miles away, right? And it was raining a lot, and there was a bus route that took me about 80% of that journey, right, that I could have taken. And I kept walking. I just kept walking and kept walking. And I sort of said to myself, if it stops raining, I'll get the bus. And do you know what happened? It stopped raining right around the time I got to where the bus would have dropped me off at. So there was no point getting it at that point. So I just like the rain, particularly because it's, I don't know, it's quite a liberating sort of thing for me. I just like the fact that, you know, in The Shawshank Redemption at the end, he escapes a prison and it's all rainy, he kind of goes like that. That's how I feel with just any level of rain. Like, even if it's proper tsunami level rain, just storms in general, really heavy rain, hail, stuff like that. The only time I don't like rain is when I'm filming, because the camera can't really handle that. So it impedes me from a practical point of view. But if it's just me walking around without a camera or anything like that, I love the rain. I really, really like it. It's just so, I don't know, calming, particularly say if you're on a bus and you're looking out the window and you see all the people in the rain sort of like scurrying from place to place. Or if you're looking out your window and you just sort of see the droplets come against the window, that's really nice. If you're in a car and you're going along the motorway and you sort of got the windshield, the windscreen wipers kind of going back and forth, and you know, you see out the side, just like the rain coming down. I don't drive, but I imagine from a driving point of view, it's actually quite annoying because it would impede your ability to see. But what I find so beautiful about the rain is, I don't know, it adds a certain layer of, intensity or emotional intensity to a day. Like, if you're walking around with someone and it starts raining, and you start to have that little bonding thing over, let's try and find some shelter. Ooh, this cafe is open here, it's raining, should we go inside? Let's go inside. You go in, you get a coffee, and you just start talking about stuff. And you know, you might have had a conversation you wouldn't have had otherwise if you were just walking around. The thing that's really good about the rain is just that, I don't know, and because whenever I walk around in the rain, this is a little overhang sort of area. You always see crowds of people sticking to the areas of an overhang so they don't get wet. I understand, like, if you don't want your makeup to run, you know, you wouldn't want to be in the rain. That makes perfect sense. But if you're not wearing makeup, I don't really see what you have to lose. Is it maybe you don't want to get wet hair so you get a cold? Is that maybe the issue? Or is it just you generally don't like getting wet? But then we all have showers and baths and stuff, so we, you know, we're going to get wet anyway. I don't quite know. Maybe if you've just had a wash, you don't really want to walk around smelling like rain. I could understand that. But I don't know. I like just walking around in the rain. I actively go out when it starts raining. I go for a walk when it starts raining and I'll come back dripping wet. It's just so much fun to walk around feeling it on your face. What I don't like is when it's absolutely fucking freezing and it's raining. God, that's terrifying. There's no one in that. What? It just came down on its own. Ghost in the elevator. Yeah, there isn't anyone in it. Okay. So, as I was saying, yeah, I understand all of these reasons why people might not like the rain. Personally, I just do. But what I don't like is when it gets so piercingly cold that, you know, the wetness almost freezes onto you. If that's probably the best way I can describe it. My ideal weather is mid to late June, just before the heat wave comes, but it's raining. It's raining hard, but you can go out in a t-shirt. That's my favorite type of weather. When it's cloudy as hell out and it's raining like God is, like, you know, just pouring a bucket of water over us. And you can just walk around in a t-shirt and just indulge in it. And it's wonderful. It really is nice. There's something about miserable weather that really does it for me. I really like cloudy days from a filming point of view because it gets rid of shadows, and when you're going out, you don't really need to do any external lighting on people. And shots generally look better and more professional and more high-end because there's no shadows, there's no harshness. It gets rid of the amateurish kind of look. If you see a lot of student films and they're shot on really bright, sunny days, and you compare them to one student films that were filmed on cloudy days, you'll find the cloudy days student films tend to look a little bit better. And that's because the sky, basically, and the clouds act as a giant softbox for the big light in the sky, which is the sun. So, you know, it's really satisfying from that, from a filmmaking point of view. But I actively just kind of like a slightly cloudy day anyway, because it means I don't have to wear sunglasses around, and like I like wearing sunglasses from time to time. I don't like having to wear them day in and day out every single day for like 3 months. I do like hot weather and, like, you know, all that sort of stuff, but when it starts to get into a heat wave, because the adage that my mum passed down onto me is basically, you can only take so many layers off, but you can put on as many layers as you like. So it would be better for it to be really cold than for it to be really hot, because you can't take your skin off, can you? And you can't really walk around naked either. So you're stuck at a certain layer where you can't take anything else off, and you're just kind of screwed. You know, I remember it was a heat wave a few years ago, and I went to Lidl, and I didn't have a shirt on because it was that hot. I just walked around without a shirt on, and I went in, and the security guard came up to me, and he sort of said, "Listen, sorry, man, but can you not come in shirtless?" And I was like, "But it's so hot out." I was like, I know, but come on, man. And I was like, okay, I can understand if maybe there's a dress code kind of thing. And I thought, well, if I was a woman, I wouldn't be able to get away with that whatsoever. So that's another issue as well. And I just sort of thought, oh, great. So next time I went, it was still a heat wave, and I had to put a T-shirt on, and I was sweating like a pig. I really don't like that sort of heat wavy, summery sort of thing. I don't like going to, like, Southern Europe in summer. It really, really fucks me up. Yeah, that was generally the point of this video, is that I wanted to get across that what counts as nice weather can vary from person to person. And for me, nice weather is what a lot of people seem to think of as kind of crap weather. But at the same time, I don't think I'm alone. There's a big subreddit dedicated to the rain and people who love the rain. There's so many people who love the rain. I think the main thing is, like, you know, you sit with a coffee or a hot chocolate with a book beside the window, you know, at your little, like, Victorian era sort of desk, and you're kind of like this. And it's rain coming down on the other side of the window, and you're kind of just looking out, having a bit of a peek at your book, and you're drinking your hot chocolate or your tea or your coffee or whatever. And that's really nice, you know. It's nice to get in from work in the middle of December or January and get a nice bowl of soup, you know. Even if it's just a can of, like, tomato pine soup, it's just nice to, you know, have that little warmth sort of thing in the summer. Because in the summer you can't quite do that. A salad doesn't work quite the same way that a bowl of soup does in the winter. It doesn't quite do it. It's nice, it's really nice, obviously, but it's not quite the same. And obviously it's not the same, but I mean, it's not, you know, quite that level of, you know, great and satisfying. So, yeah, that's basically all I had to say with this video. Just, I like the rain. If you also like the rain, leave a comment. If you don't like the rain, leave a comment and tell me why you don't like the rain. I've tried to empathize with the people who don't like the rain, and I've been struggling as of so far. So, yeah, if you don't like the rain, please let me know why. If there's some weird type of weather you like that, you know, other people sort of look a bit weird about, let us know and tell us why. And yeah, just let's talk about weather for a little bit, because, you know, we're British, is what we do. And if you're not from Britain, you're British for the sake of this comment section. You've passed the citizenship test in the Johnny Mozza Club. So yeah, thank you very much for watching, everybody. Have a good rest of the day and take care. Bye bye. I'll just give you an idea, because I mentioned the jacket earlier. So I'll show you why I took it off. Where's the other end? There it is. Yeah. Do you see why I didn't put it on? It's the exact same shade of brown. Bloody hell. Bloody hell. I don't know why I said it like that. Like I had a yokel inflection. Hey up, everybody. My name's Joshua Morrison, director of Johnny Mozza's Our Lessons in Confidence. Today, I want to talk to you a little bit about the future of this channel, because for the past 2.5 months, I've been making 2 videos a day. And it was a challenge that I set for myself. And now, on the 31st of December, I have completed this challenge. This is the last video of the year. And next year, I'm going to be reducing my output from 2 videos a day down to 1 video a day. And I just wanted to talk a little bit about what's to come and what I plan on doing, because I don't know if I can necessarily do these exact videos forever at this exact pace, right? Because, you know, I don't have an infinite well of stuff to say, and I don't want to just be someone that just turns motivation into some kind of grift or commodity to try and gain money. What I want to do is try and develop this channel into something else, right, in the long term, while still retaining the heart and soul that actually come from the things that I make and doing what I love. So I've written some notes for this one. I don't normally write notes, but I've written a few things about what we're going to be doing in the future. So you can still expect to see these talky sort of videos where I go out into the middle of nowhere and just have a little bit of a chat. What I'm going to do, I'm going to do those every other day, right? And every other day that you'll get an upload of that, right? And in the days in between, you'll start getting various other things. Maybe you'll get an album. Maybe you'll get some like review of something. Maybe you'll get whatever. I've written a few ideas that I've had here. So one is videos of me doing various things, editing, songwriting, recording music, general stuff at the computer. So I've already done a few videos like this. Like I've done videos where I edit my film. I've done videos where I've edited these videos. I've done videos where I record music and that kind of thing. So you can expect stuff like that going forwards. You can also expect just like albums, films, trailers, that kind of thing, because those are all going to come anyway, because, you know, as like that's what I do as a job, essentially, is I make films and I make music and all that sort of stuff. So that's going to be happening. I also want to get into doing reviews of products, because I've got all sorts of stuff that I can review just lying around anyway. I've done two reviews of this microphone, right? I want to do more reviews of stuff. I've reviewed the camera as well. I want to review my other cameras. I want to review like my computer. I want to review on a Windows 10, just various stuff, you know? And I like talking about products, and I like talking about various things. I've got like a couple games that I want to talk about. I've got films I want to talk about, that kind of thing. So you can expect to see some you know, reviews, and they'll be in the same like conversational, naturalistic style of these. You know, I'm not going to start doing jump cuts and become a YouTuber or anything like that. So don't worry about me like becoming something that's not this at the moment, because I still intend to retain this style going forwards. There's also on-set vlogs for Johnny Mozza. I had this mad idea that is going to require me to get a bigger data package, because I've actually got a data package that means I only get 1 gig of data a month. So the last like 5 days of the month, I have no data. So that's a little bit irritating. And what I want to do, I found I can get an infinite data package for like £30 a month. So I plan to get that. And what I want to do is I want to start taking this camera and hooking up to a laptop somewhere and doing these motivational sort of videos in a live stream format, where people can maybe put forward questions and I can answer them, or maybe people have a problem like and I can be like an agony aunt or something like that, you know, and we can do them live in that sort of way. And what I'd like to then do is set up another channel called like, I don't know, Johnny Mozza like clips or something like that, where, you know, I'll take all the most interesting parts of various live streams and then put them on that channel, and I'll put them in like short form as well. And maybe I'll make shorts out of these current videos. Don't worry, I'm not going to make them all like, you know, with the big text on everything. I'll make them quite naturalistic, like these are, because I feel like that's why people like them, because it's an oasis from all the fast-paced schlock that you kind of get. And I'm not saying that this isn't schlock. It's easy to film garbage at the end of the day. I mean, and I'm aware of that, and that's totally fine. But I feel like that's the style, and I want to keep that style going. I don't want this to become something that's not this, because that's not what you, the audience, signed up for when you hit that subscribe button. You know, you're not going to start getting like, smash that like button, hit that button, do this, do that, because I command you to, right? There's none of that that's going to be going into the future. But I would love to live stream these sort of various talking videos and maybe get conversations going on with the audience. Also, what I'd love to do is at some point when I'm doing Johnny Mozza, if I've got this data package, is I would love to live stream an entire day of the filming, right? So say I do like a half day, a very simple one. Maybe just get someone to take the camera, and it's got a wire that connects it to a laptop or something like that, or maybe like even just through the phone or something like that, and we just live stream the entire film shoot process. Now obviously we wouldn't be able to communicate with the chat in that one, but I feel like it might be a fun educational sort of thing, to so you can see what a film set is like, and it might give you an insight into how I make these videos, how I do things, my process and so on, and then you can pick things that maybe work well for you and maybe see things that I do that you're like, oh, you shouldn't do that. So that's a lesson for you going forwards, that I'm not going to make that mistake that he makes, that kind of thing. And I like the idea of that. And then finally is interviews with random people, just talks, conversations, stuff like that. So I did one already. I did one with my friend John Henry Westhead about his film, Steve the Stammer's Missing Painting, that I was the director of photography on. And we just sat down, we had a conversation. We were at the pub and we shut the camera down, we had a conversation. And I want to do more stuff like that and just talk to new and interesting people, not necessarily even in the film world or the music world. Maybe just, you know, I'd love to talk to a vicar about Christianity, or I'd love to talk to, I don't know, a politician about politics, or talk to whoever, anyone who's willing to sit down in real life and have a conversation, or possibly not even, maybe we could even do stuff over Zoom if there's someone that's interesting, like over in America or something like that, and we could sit down and have a bit of an interview and keep it all naturalistic and try and get into the nitty-gritty through a slow kind of process of figuring out the answers for ourselves rather than ingesting the answers that someone else has already come up with. And then there's a few other things that I've put on here that are kind of just various little like life updates. Like one, I need to get a job. So I took some time off from like doing my usual sort of like gigs and stuff like that so that I could make the film Johnny Mozza's Lessons in Confidence. And then I kind of got distracted and I ended up making these videos because so many people jumped on board and so many people are getting inspired by them. And I started just making so many of these videos. And at some point, like, the money's going to run out and I need to get a job again, right? Which is going to mean that it might make it harder to actually balance making the videos with making the like the money from like a real job. And the way I plan on doing things is I plan on taking the camera to work and then just like filming stuff on the way there and on the way back. And like you'll probably start seeing the same few locations again and again, but I'll try and find new angles and stuff like that. And I'll actually repair the base plate on my tripod on my camera, because I've for the past like month and a half I've not used a tripod. I've just been propping the camera up on like the ground or on bins or like on tree stumps or benches and stuff like that and filming it that way. And like using my lens cap to just like angle it up slightly. That's all I've been doing. And people say that these shots look amazing. I don't use a tripod. I don't think you can tell when I stopped using a tripod, apart from the fact that, and I think in the video that I stopped using it, I talk about how I didn't have a tripod anymore. So negating that, I don't think you can tell, right? So yeah, I need to get a job, because I need to get money. I need to, because, you know, we need to keep roofs over our head and stuff like that. And another thing on that topic of keeping a roof over your head, I'm planning on selling out and making a Patreon. So that's going to be, the way I sort of have the idea of doing it, right, is I figure for each subscription level, you'll get more videos. So I figure, say you do £1 a month, you get one video a month. Say you do £2 a month, you get two videos a month. Say you do £5 a month, you get four videos a month. Say you do £10 a month, you get like two videos a week. That kind of thing. And I'll figure out the exact details. And if you have any thoughts on that, please leave them in the comments below. If that would be something that would be of interest to you, even if you don't plan on donating yourself, if you think that's a good idea, or if you think I should shift the idea, or maybe you think the numbers are wrong or whatever, that kind of thing, right? So I do plan on setting up a Patreon because, to be honest, it would be another revenue stream. And I know that sounds like very capitalistic, but this is how your favorite YouTubers make money. Like you see all your favorite YouTubers, right? And they have so many different ways of monetizing themselves. They all have various channels. This is why like so many channels have like second channels and third channels and all that kind of stuff, because each channel that's monetized is another revenue stream. And then on top of that, that's why people take sponsorships. That's why people, like you might see someone, you feel like they're selling out and that kind of thing. It's because they need to keep a roof over their head. And you know, YouTube doesn't pay as much as you might think, right? So that's why I am considering doing that. And it's something that, like, at first, like, I think the me that from like 3 months ago when I first started this channel would look at me now and go and just shake his head, you know, the same way that sometimes I see a YouTuber start a Patreon, I'm like, oh, shut the fuck up, you're starting a Patreon, that kind of thing, right? But you know, it is something that you know, I want to provide something interesting on the Patreon. Like, that's why I thought of this, like, almost lottery sort of thing, because there'd be various videos, some would be better than others, and the more that you put in, the more chance you have of getting a good video, because you'd be getting more videos in general. In terms of, like, you know how I'm always talking about the quantity over quality thing? If this is the first video you're watching, I'm not sure why the first video you're watching is the future of this channel, but anyway, if you sort of watch more of these videos, you know that I'm very much about quantity over quality, and I feel like that'd be an interesting experiment into quantity over quality and seeing just how much you can get for that. And then finally, long term, this is very long term, this isn't over months, this is over years. I want to turn this channel into a production house. Now that's, I don't know the specifics of that, I don't know what's going to go on with that, but I want to turn this into something where there can be more than just me involved. I'll maybe still be the face of it, and you know, I'll try and keep this soul and this sort of you know, intimacy between myself and you, the audience, going. I don't want to commodify this and turn it into like some kind of like typical like production studio where it's all glossy and all that sort of stuff. I'd rather keep it like gritty and realistic and true to life. And that would be the vision for this company. And I was thinking like Mozza House or something like that. I used to have a production company, not much of a production company, but it was called Morrison Productions. And I want this new one to be maybe Mozza House or something like that. Or maybe I'll find a new name. And if you have any suggestions for names, please leave them in the comments below. And knowing that doing that, you give up the right to use that name for yourself. And you can't come after me for using this name. I don't know if that's legally binding, but I thought I'd just put that in there just in case. Even I trust you. So yeah, that's kind of what I feel like doing going forwards, is that you're going to get one of these sort of videos every other day rather than twice a day, and you're going to start seeing various other things. But at the end of the day, it's all going to still be me, it's still going to be true, and it's still going to be down to earth. And I want to keep that as the ethos of this channel, and going forwards I want it to all be about yeah, just being true to yourself and not worrying so much about what others think, because if you're staying true to yourself and you're being genuine, people want to follow along. And yeah, that's kind of it. It's a big year ahead, 2025. I do plan on uploading every single day, so it's not like I'm reducing my output that much, but it will probably be a little, you know, but I'm reducing it all the same. And I know I'm a little bit all over the place with this video, even with notes, but it's a hard topic to sort of figure out, because I don't know how well this video is going to hold up to the test of time. And a year from now, maybe it will be a little bit different. Maybe the specifics will be different. What will hold up is that I want to keep the ethos going of being true and being down to earth and just leaving things naturalistic and gritty and realistic. And that's key to me. That's very important to me. That's how I see all film. That's what I... That's value that I see in film, is I value the authenticity rather than the glossiness. So yeah, thank you very much for watching this video. Hope you managed to get something out of it. If you're starting a channel yourself, yeah, just begin. Don't worry so much about it, because you know your first few videos are going to be shit anyway, and no one's going to like subscribe for your first couple videos. It's going to be like your 20th or 30th or 100th video even that'll be the one that does well, and then from there you can start figuring out things for the future. But just start, just begin, and that's all. So thank you very much for watching this video, everybody. Hope you got something out of it, and yeah, take care, everybody. And there's a lot of great things to come, and I'm looking forward to sharing them unto all of you. I don't know why I said it like that, all airy fairy like that. So yeah, I'm gonna do the pretentious thing and look out over the vista. So yeah. Ooh, isn't it so cinematic? He's sat on a bench looking out over a grand vista. It's not much of a grand vista. It's two tower blocks and a crane and some dead trees in the winter. Yeah, not much of a sight. Yeah. Happy New Year, everybody.